Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of John. In the 15th chapter, we'll read verses 9 through 17. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1538. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. John 15:9. Jesus said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. We want the war horse. Jesus rides a donkey. We want the bird of prey. The Holy Spirit descends as a dove. We want the militia. Jesus calls fishermen, tax collectors, women, and children. We want to take up swords. Jesus takes up the cross. Those profound words are from Reverend Benjamin Creamer of the United Methodist Church in Boise, Idaho. We perhaps could add, "We spew hate, Jesus speaks love." In our reading, Jesus continues to talk to his disciples on his last night with them. Jesus simplifies Christianity. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus calls us into a new relationship with him. "I have called you friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." In the Old Testament, we read of the great friendship of Jonathan and David. It was one of love, loyalty, and legacy. It was too selfless for Jonathan's daddy. As Israel conquered the promised land of Canaan and learned to live together in community, God led them through the priests and the prophets and the judges. God was their king. The people, however, began to want to be like other nations. They wanted an earthly king. Their desire was heightened because some of the children of the priests and the prophets did not follow the Lord. Samuel was a godly priest. He was a godly judge and prophet. His sons were not. When he was old, he made them judges. They turned aside for dishonest gain. They took bribes and they perverted justice. The people insisted, "Make us a king to judge us like all the other nations." This displeased Samuel, so he prayed to the Lord. The Lord said, "Heed the voice of the people, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." God told Samuel to anoint Saul of the tribe of Benjamin. Saul was a handsome young man, a mighty warrior who was taller than any of the other Israelites. Samuel met Saul and he announced to him the word of God, and he took a flask of oil and anointed his head with it. And he kissed him, saying, "The Lord has anointed you over to command over all of his inheritance." Now things started out well. It went as Samuel had told Saul. Saul met a group of prophets who had musical instruments, and as they played and they prophesied, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and he prophesied. What happens with the anointing of Saul as king was perhaps an indicator of a weakness, character weakness of Saul. As the people insisted on a king, well, Samuel called all the tribes together, and then they began to select the king from which tribe it would come from. The lot felt that it was to come from the tribe of Benjamin, and then a family was chosen. From that family, Saul was chosen. But when they sought him, when they looked for him, they could not find him. So they asked the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" And God answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." So Saul had hidden among the baggage. Even with the anointing of the Lord and the prophesying, Saul was insecure. Saul must have felt inadequate. Yet he began to get a taste of the power, and when he did not want to lose it. Saul began to make some choices that were contrary to God's plan for him to lead in the fight against the Philistines. As the Philistines gathered for battle, Saul became nervous. As Samuel, in his mind, was late in coming to offer the sacrifices and the peace offerings, which was up to the priest to do, Saul overstepped his God-given authority as king. He burned the sacrifices and he lifted the offerings. Samuel told Saul, "This was a costly error. You have done foolishly. You've not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. The Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Now the Lord will choose a man after God's own heart." That man was the shepherd boy David. Over time, Saul began to have what we might refer to as a love-hate relationship with David. Saul was grateful when David played the harp and he soothed the headaches that plagued Saul after the Spirit of the Lord left him. Saul was pleased that David was a leader in battle and even killed the Philistine giant Goliath. Yet Saul was jealous when the women sang as they danced, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul set out to kill David. Sometimes it was as spontaneous as throwing a spear as David played his harp. Twice David escaped this. Other times Saul plotted and he schemed. Saul was pleased to use his children to his advantage, but he was furious when they loved David. He gave his daughter Michal to David as his wife, and she once took a household idol and put it in the bed and covered it up to look as if David slept while she warned David and let him down through a window. She saved his life. Saul spoke to his son Jonathan and his servants that they should kill David, but Jonathan delighted greatly in David. Jonathan spoke well of David to his father. He requested that his father not harm David because David had done nothing against him but had always been good towards Saul. Jonathan didn't understand his father's hatred. Saul had hardened his heart against David. This friendship, this kind of love that Jonathan had for David was beyond Saul's understanding. He shouted at Jonathan, "As long as the son of Jesse lives on earth, your kingdom shall not be established." So he's more or less telling him, "You'll never be king if David's going to be king." To Jonathan, David was more important than being king. 1 Samuel 20:17 records, "Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. Jonathan warned David and saved his life." Before they parted, Jonathan requested of David, "Do not cut off your kindness from my house when God has cut off every one of the enemies." Now, lest we think that Jonathan was a weak man, we should note that Jonathan was himself mighty in battle and men respected him. But Jonathan was mighty in love and friendship with David. And Jonathan was mighty in love and loyalty with God. Jonathan accepted that God had chosen David to be the next king of Israel. He knew that David had not sinned against his father. He only asked David to be kind to his family. Jonathan was killed in battle against the Philistines. Saul's other two sons were also killed. Saul was wounded in battle and he fell on his own sword and took his own life. There was some division at first, but at the age of 30, David became king over Israel and he reigned for 40 years. After he became king, David honored his beloved friend Jonathan by honoring his request to be kind to his family. Jonathan had a son who was lame in his feet. He was only 5 years old when the news had come about the death of Saul and Jonathan. His nurse took the boy and fled. As she made haste, he fell and became lame. He went into hiding. One day, David asked, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He was told about Mephibosheth. He was brought to Jerusalem, and he ate continually at King David's table. Proverbs 18:24 says, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." God calls us into the relationship of friend with one another. Jesus said in John 15:12, "Love one another as I have loved you." In our daily bread, the April 2024 topic is building community. God calls us to have hearts of humility, forgiveness, and love toward one another in our communities. Being part of the body of Christ is about one another. So how do we build community? We build community when we serve together, we pray together, we share together, and we relax together. Serve together. Hebrews 10:24 says to spur one another towards love and good deeds. There are needs all around us. Ask God what we can do for each other and also for strangers to join others in accomplishing God's will. Pray together. Galatians 6:2 says to carry each other's burdens. Bring your needs to God. Vulnerability and honesty builds closer relationships and gives us an opportunity to trust God together and to see Him work in our lives. And to share together, to encourage one another daily. That's in Hebrews 3:13, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So we create a safe and a trusted environment by allowing people to share authentically what they think. We can challenge each other with the scriptures. We can share our stories and help others to grow. A group that includes a variety of ages brings a broad experience and insight. And then we can relax together. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Host people in our home or our church for casual conversation and connection. Have fun together, a game night, a dessert, a play, a picnic, fun in the park. Jesus calls us into a new relationship with Him. No longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. In their book, Drawing Closer, by Glenn Martin and Diane Ginter, they tell the story of Shah Abbas. As the story goes, Shah Abbas was a Persian monarch who loved his people very much. To know and understand them better, he would mingle with his subjects in various disguises. One day, disguised as a poor man, he went to the public baths. In a tiny cellar, he sat beside the fireman who tended the furnace. When it was mealtime, the monarch shared this man's coarse food and talked to this lonely subject as a friend. Again and again, he visited the man and grew to love. The man grew to love the king without figuring out who he was. One day, the Shah told the man that he was the monarch, and he expected the man to ask for some gift from him. But the fireman sat gazing at the ruler with love and wonder and at last spoke. You left your palace and your glory to sit with me in this dark place, to eat of my coarse food, to care whether my heart was glad or sorry. On others you may bestow rich presents, but to me you have given yourself, and it only remains for me to pray that you will never withdraw the gift of your friendship. How unlike most people today. Yet having reached this level of relationship with his monarch, the peasant did not want to gain personal benefits such as gifts. He wanted the monarch for who he was. So it should be with our relationship with the Lord. Did you notice? The man experienced the rich rewards of friendship with the ruler. Yet as great as that was, he knew there was no guarantee that this was a permanent relationship. But how different it is for us as we walk with the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet our good friend. He wants to walk in intimacy with us eternally. He chose to draw us closer to Him and says that nothing will separate us from Him. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We want to take up swords. Jesus takes up the cross. We spew hate. Jesus speaks love. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you love us and you call us friend. We love you and we ask that you help us to serve with you as friend. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.